Professor Karen King. You are our 2021 Theologian in Residence at the Ames United Church of Christ. What's that about?
Well, it's taken a long time to get here. We started talking about this in 2017, but with the pandemic conditions, it's been put off till now. So they've asked me basically to step in. I'm a historian of religion, of early Christianity, and spend a day on Saturday with a series of lectures, which we're going to do on Zoom, and we'll have some conversations and so forth, and then I'll be in the church on Sunday morning. And we're going to talk of the topic I set up for them is the challenges of truth in our time.
Well, that is a challenge in all times, isn't it, Professor King?
It certainly is. It might seem a little arrogant to take up such a big topic, but, you know, it's always a good thing to talk about the truth.
That's true. So you are a professor at Harvard, and I understand you are in the oldest endowed professorship, 1721. So they've been studying religion for a long time at Harvard.
Well, you know, Harvard was founded to educate a pastorate. So sometimes they like to think of themselves as a secular institution, but over at the Divinity School, we're there to say Harvard has this history of dealing with religion that's very, very long.
So can you give us, I understand that your talk is called The Challenges of Truth in Our Time, but can you kind of elaborate on what you'll be covering?
Sure. So what I've decided to do is to take people through actually thinking about the pitfalls and the possibilities of thinking with traditional stories and materials. So what that's going to turn out to look like in the long run is we're going to look at the Gospel of John and then look at stories that are told with the Gospel of John. So I want particularly to look at the way in which the Gospel of John has been used to feed anti-Judaism and part of the Christian anti-Judaism of the last 2,000 years, and other ways of reading this text than that. We're going to look at W.E.B. Du Bois's short story on Jesus Christ in Texas. Du Bois, of course, is an incredibly important and famous speaker during Jim Crow in this country. And he tells the story of the Gospel of John, uses themes from the Gospel of John and taking on the topics of lynching. And then we're going to look at something that's a little bit more in my bailiwick, which is two of these texts that were discovered in Egypt in 1945, the Gospel of Mary and the Gospel of Truth. And both of them also give us ways of thinking in fresh ways about how early Christians were then telling and talking about the Gospel of John. So this is going to take us through issues of anti-Semitism and race and gender material.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You used the phrase anti-Judaism, and I wondered how that differed from anti-Semitism or if it did.
Well, there's a big debate about that and about whether or not you can actually make the distinction. When people do make it, they think anti-Judaism is about religion, anti-Semitism is an issue about race. But of course, in the modern period, those things get all mixed up together. And, you know, it's sometimes people say want to, you know, talk about one or the other, but really they do belong together.
So I was going to ask you about this thing about recently discovered literature from Egypt. When I think of recently discovered, I think, oh, maybe the last 10 years. But you're talking a little longer time frame in these recent discoveries. Is that true?
Well, you know, I'm a historian who works on early Christianity. So the Gospel of Mary came to light in 1896, and that seems pretty recent to me when you're looking at the, you know, the first and second century and so forth. The other text, the Gospel of Truth, was discovered in 1945. But you're right. But there have been, you know, things discovered in the last 15, 20 years as well. They keep popping up.
Is it difficult as a professor to get students to be interested in these kind of ancient religious historical texts in today's modern university?
think teaching is always about starting where people are at with the issues and the things that move them. And so one of the things I did, for example, last semester was in a course on ancient Christian martyrdom. We read that side by side. We paired that with the history of lynching in the U.S. And it brings a sense of reality and immediacy to the text. With the kinds of materials I'm going to be talking about, in Ames, sort of in zooming into Ames on this weekend, if you take up these issues that are immediate and then let them see how these ancient texts were dealing with very similar kinds of issues and problems, but it gives them a whole new way of thinking that they hadn't seen before. So I find that students in my classes become more and more fascinated with this material the more they learn about it.
What kind of folks will be coming to this Zoom event, either at the church or through Zoom? What kind of audience are you anticipating?
Well, of course, I don't. This will be my first my first time at the church and visit, so I anticipate members of the church. They've advertised more broadly, as I understand, let people know in a broader, area, and there are, because it's going to be on Zoom, my understanding is that people are registered even on other continents, sort of zooming in the way that medium lets us have that kind of audience that wouldn't be usual.
Well, I never get to ask this question. I get to sit into tons of Zoom meetings and Zoom things for my work. So I'm just going to ask you, what do you think of teaching in Zoom?
So I think what I learned in doing this intensive teaching through this kind of media is that it has its advantages and its disadvantages. You miss seeing people. Students miss talking with each other, the conversations that happen before and after class, all of that. And they're just different kinds of conversations that take place. But I have learned also that there's some real advantages to this. For example, I tape lectures now in advance so that they can watch them whenever it's convenient to them. And we spend all of our time together talking. And I've taken that now to my class, which is in person this year. I'm continuing to tape all the lectures, and we're spending all of our time together talking. And that makes a much better use of precisely the face-to-face. I've also found that for some students who are not necessarily shy but might be a little bit more reticent about talking, that the capacity of Zoom to break out into small groups and then come back together, the capacity to be at home or in environments where they feel really comfortable, makes them more active participants in discussions and so forth. And that's definitely an advantage.
I can see that. I just myself put on an annual meeting in Zoom with over 100 participants, and there were definitely pros and cons. We'll just leave it at that. The challenge of truth in our time, that's the title of your presentations this on Saturday the 19th. What are the challenges of truth in our time?
Well, I think the way I'm talking about this is the need for understanding the deep complexity of things and understanding and going underneath, listening more, having more of the history and background, seeing that the things we know, the things we don't know, that ignorance is a real problem with understanding and understanding each other, listening carefully. Certainly, media allows opinions to get a wider range of hearing. We can be more selective about what we listen to and what we hear. So I think all of these constitute real challenges.
I'm going to ask you as a divinity teacher, as a theologian, I'm curious, when we hear people who, especially around the topic of, say, vaccination, are simply denying what I, as an ex-lawyer, consider facts, what is our responsibility to listen?
The responsibility to listen, I think, is always there. I mean, one of the takeaways about the suffering and pain of this time that we are in, that people are perhaps always in, is the importance of kindness. That kindness is the thing that makes sense. And I think by listening to people and trying to understand more deeply where they're coming from, why one would choose to take a particular position, what's underlying that, that maybe we can start to address these underlying issues and bring us together from a place where you can get deep enough to have some compassion and understanding, and then from there be able to move people toward what I agree with you is going to be about the health of us as a globally. This is a global pandemic, and we need to step up to what the CDC and others are telling us, as your last speaker was talking about. We need to step up and do this vaccination for each other and realize that this is not about us as individuals. It's about us as a global survival.
In closing, Dr. King, what can the various gospels that you mentioned and that you have spent a career studying teach us in terms of how we deal with the apparently large, relatively large contingent of people who believe in what is euphemistically called conspiracy theories?
Well, I think that we can learn that conspiracy theories are nothing new and really think about the ways in which people will use persuasion to win the day and see those strategies and be able to perhaps see more clearly them working and fight against them, work against them, and really lean into the facts and what's going on. Conspiracy theories are enormously dangerous, and just recognizing that, I think, is one step.
You know, in listening to you, Professor, your comments on history and the passage of time make me realize that we've all seen this before, and that's sort of oddly comforting.
It is oddly comforting in a way, because I think people have dealt with it before. People have learned to lean into what's important, to rest on those places where the deepest kinds of truth, the places of kindness and care for each other, get people through times of enormous crisis.
All right. Well, you can learn more about this and the challenges of truth in our time at Ames UCC Church, where Dr. Karen King will be the theologian in residence via Zoom September 18th and 19th. And you can go to the church website to find more information. And thank you so much, Dr. King, for being our guest today.
Thank you very much.